comparing plans really pays.
Cholesterol-lowering drugs are credited for a nationwide decline in heart attacks. A study by scientists at the University of Alabama found that the risks of heart attacks and strokes dropped by 15 to 20% in more than 32,000 patients. A relative unknown is looking to give President Trump a 2020 re-election challenge. And USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
The Roswell, New Mexico lawyer is on the ballot for the upcoming New Hampshire primary. Rick Kraft says he's filed to run as a Republican for the party nomination. Kraft has nearly 40 years' experience in the legal trade. He served as president of the New Mexico State Bar. The New Hampshire primary is coming up on Tuesday, the 11th of February. Details on Kraft's platform and his plans are to be posted on the Rick Kraft for President 2020 Facebook page sometime soon.
This is USA Radio News.
Friends and family, I've told you about the great sleep I get with my MyPillow every night. Well, right now, you can get a great deal and extra safety. Because if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, get their buy one, get one free offer on the MyPillow premium pillow. Your 60-day money-back guarantee goes all the way through March 1st, 2020. That's now through December 25th. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special and use my promo code USA.
According to the Wall Street Journal, Ascension Healthcare is now sharing your information with Google in a program called Project Nightingale. Ascension Healthcare includes over 2,600 hospitals and healthcare centers in 21 states. Now, they've been reportedly providing patient names, date of births, as well as lab results and hospitalizations to Google. Patients and doctors were not notified. Dr. Tara Narula tells CBS This Morning,
I think it's a very difficult conundrum we find ourselves in. On the one hand, you can see the value of streamlining information, potentially being able to better diagnose patients, to predict things that might happen. On the other hand, there are certainly risks. And, you know, that doctor-patient relationship is one built on trust. It's a very secure, safe environment. You know, patients tell us things in the office that they don't tell anybody. Yeah. Things about their spirituality, about their social habits. To risk that being leaked in some way at some point is very scary for a lot of
patients.
Patients
or doctors, neither one of them were told. It makes you wonder, why not solicit feedback ahead of time and say, hey, just so you know, we're going to be sharing. It's going to be great.
I think it would have been a lot easier to buy in if you agreed and said, yes, I'm giving my information. But to not know and then have it out there, it's concerning.
And finally, it was back on this date in 1954 when Ellis Island, the gateway to America, shuts its doors. They shut down after processing more than 12 million immigrants since they opened back in 1892. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for this afternoon. It's, my stuff's falling apart. Something came off the microphone here. I own Russ Warren, a mentoring group, and I love to talk to people about their businesses so that we can share ideas so that others can perhaps apply some of the ideas that we discuss. It's Tuesday, November 12th. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon here in beautiful downtown Flemington, New Jersey. And today I have a wonderful guest who is going to share some important information for us to learn from, especially when it comes to taking entrepreneurial steps by using background information. And I have here Maren Resnick. So welcome to the program, Maren.
Thank you, Vicki. Thank you for having me this afternoon.
It's great that you're here. I hear you better than I hear myself on this thing. That's how good that is. But at any rate, you and I met several weeks ago at here at the Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, where I conduct classes on trade show and event marketing, and you were one of my students.
I was. I very much enjoyed the class. I learned a lot.
Well, good, and that's thrilling for me to hear that. In fact, I walked around. We actually had the expo last week, and you worked in a booth there with some other being. She's an author, by the way, and she wrote a book, which we're going to talk about. It's called "Scary: The Scared Iguana." So
yes,
we're going to talk about your book.
Yes.
But I noticed that I didn't see you at the booth, but I walked by earlier.
Yes.
There, I think, and it's good that you got that kind of exposure. But you learned about the trade show and event marketing by attending the program, and I had a lot of really good feedback.
Yes.
And in fact, what I find is the people that attend those classes change their booths around so that they really get more visibility and really get more bang for their buck, because the business expos are not that expensive to pay for.
Correct.
Space. However, you're taking time and you're taking resources, and some people bring employees to those events. So the dollars do add up.
They do.
It's very important for people to really maximize those opportunities. This thing is falling apart on me.
Oh, gosh. You know what, Vicki? I wanted to say one of the bits of advice you gave to us that I use that actually has helped me not only in that trade show but in some of the book fests I've gone to is how you said to not sit behind your table but to stand up and to greet people. And I find that when I stand up and greet people and talk to them, I tend to get more sales, more exposure. Even if I don't sell a book, people will ask me about my background and where I came from, and they're very interested to know about my marketing background and my business background, and can I come speak at their businesses or to their children. So I think that was the best bit of advice anybody's given me in a very long time.
Well, that's wonderful to hear that. I'm very, very pleased about that. Yeah, it's when you have a barrier, the table being a barrier between you and the person visiting the booth, you really can't do what I call get up close and personal. It's very
true.
Impersonal.
Yes.
And that barrier also prevents people from you can't get them to engage with you. They use that as a way of avoiding you.
I agree, 100%.
So you're right there in front. You can talk. I assume you handed them the book and you had the show. Actually, the book. This is awful. Excuse me, everybody. This is. I thought I had this fixed and it wasn't. A book or any kind of product literature that you can take to a show really can serve as a selling tool.
Yes.
And it also gives you a chance to have what I call touch and feel. If you can get something in someone's hands and get them to experience it, they're going to remember it more so than if you just mentioned it.
That's true.
So did you find that to be the case?
I found that 100% to be the case. I actually brought the book, obviously, and I had a book set up. Mm-hmm. And then I brought pictures of the actual Scary, the Scared Iguana. So to draw people in, I remember you saying touch and feel during your class with us, to bring people in, I actually brought actual pictures of Scary. And people were like, wow, is a real iguana? And tell me the story. And then I was able to tell them the story of how the book came to be and then also show them the actual book, and I made quite a few sales that way.
Did you really?
I really did.
You know, were there any other authors there when you were there, or were you there on your own?
So at the chamber event, I actually went to go stand by my good friend, Colmier from the Red Mill Museum Village, because there were several authors there at once, and it was nice to give everybody a little bit of space. So Paul is a very kind person, as most of you know. He's also the mayor of Bethlehem Township, and I just went and stood by him and Marjorie from the Hunterdon Art Museum. I'm very blessed in that I work for Walter O'Brien of the Hunterdon Review, so I know a lot of people. So I was able to go stand with Paul and give some of those other writers a little bit of space, which was nice. And so that was a lot of fun, of course, standing there in the middle of the two museums and just that Hunterdon County spirit. You could feel it. And a lot of people walked up to me and asked me about Scary, and it was really a lot of fun.
Thrilled that you had that experience, and I'm pleased and very proud of you.
Thank you. That means so much to me. When your teacher's proud of you, you're like, wow, I did something right.
Yeah. One of the other exhibitors at the show, they were across the room in the back corner, and they had crowds of people around them, and they did everything I told them to do.
Oh, that's great.
They had some flowers in the room. They had lights focused on their table.
Right.
They had billboard-sized displays in the booth, and they did a lot of hands-on demos. And
wow.
Yeah, and that actually brought crowds of people in with them. So, but that's what you did is exactly what I recommend. And and people will remember you, and they'll remember your story. And there's a great chance that they'll share that experience they had with you with other people.
Oh, that's exciting to know.
You made it fun. Because I think I teach a class on selling skills and different concepts. And one of the things we talk about is create a wonderful experience for your prospect and your customer.
Yes.
In fact, there's a woman, her name is Sally Hogsheader. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever heard of her.
I haven't.
But she's a business consultant. And there's a video, several videos on YouTube, where she talks about her customers and the fact that she determined that the customers that she served that were successful were because they created wonderful experiences for their customers. And in fact, she came up with the concept of being fascinating. And I think it's being the experience and being fascinating.
Yes.
To be rolled into one big concept.
Yes.
And she found that those companies were successful. And today, especially when you're dealing with the younger generations, the younger millennials and certainly the Z generations that we're now talking about.
Yes, ma'am.
We have to know what's important to them and what's going to trigger that interest.
It's interesting that you should say that, because I was reading an interesting article when I first started doing my go-to-market plan. Of course, you do your white sheet, then your marketing plan, then your go-to-market plan. I started researching what those generations, the younger millennials, the Gen Y, the Z, what they were looking for. And I read an interesting article in the Society of Children's Authors and Illustrators Bulletin that stated that those generations would like an experience, that you have to create an experience. So what I'm finding is that generation does not come to you, where previous generations would go to the bookstore or to a toy store or even online. I am finding that you have to go to that generation. And not only do you have to go to that generation, but you almost have to be non-diverse. So, for example, I did when I first launched my book, I did a Read with Reptiles program at Toys with Love in Chester, and it went very well. And I found that a lot of people who came actually were, friends of mine or people who had heard from us by word of mouth, but not so much that when we had reached out on social media or Twitter or things to that nature. So I found that to be very interesting. And what I'm finding is when I go to, let's say, libraries or schools, I don't get that many orders. Mm-hmm. But I went to the Chamber. I did very well. Mm-hmm. I went to a book festival. I did excellent. And I feel as though you have got to, as you said, Vicki, create that experience.
Yeah.
And they will go to that experience. So my husband, John Barrett, who I said, never gets, always says to me he never gets enough credit. So, hi, honey.
Yeah.
you know, he said to me, you know, this is probably what you need to start doing, is these book festivals, and just to be where your market is. And your market is going to buy books at a book festival because that's where they're prepared to purchase books.
Yes.
You know, my husband said to me, you're not prepared to purchase books at a library because people there are looking to check out books, to get free books. You're not prepared to purchase, perhaps, at, you know, any other kind of event. So those are the kind of things you have to take into account as you move forward.
Yeah, it's interesting that you shared that point of view because it really fits into the concepts that I teach in my marketing and selling skills classes.
Yes.
For example, people will say to me, well, my target audience is, let's say it's in your case,
yeah,
it's the children from the ages of 5 to 15 and parents mm-hmm. between the ages of 25 and 50 or and in other industries, they may say, oh, people that live in certain neighborhoods or certain economic levels, or it could be companies that are looking for could be business owners looking for companies that have X number of employees. But the question I have every time for them is, who are they and where do they hang out?
Right.
That's the whole thing. People do not get that. They don't understand that you have to identify your target audience and who are they and where do they hang out. You don't know. You cannot name the audience, or you cannot name the people that you want to sell to. You know they're out there.
Right. Correct.
So the only way you're going to figure out who they are and where they hang out is to go where they are.
Yes.
Or connect, like you did with Toys with Love.
Right. Correct.
You went to a place that knows those people.
Yes.
And that's what you have to do. And
yes,
people don't get it.
They don't.
And I stress it all the time. In fact, I counseled three people yesterday, and I shared this concept with just about everybody that comes in my counseling sessions.
Right.
And I see the light bulbs go on. And I typically recommend that you choose no more than three or four vertical target categories.
Yes.
So in your case, one target might be toy stores or retail places where they go.
Yes.
Or it could be places where the kids go for exercise or
right,
things
correct.
Like that. And then another category might be networking events
right,
and
correct.
Chambers.
Yes.
So another whatever it is, no more than three or four categories.
Right.
That'll keep you busy.
Yes. And I have to say, Vicki, that's the other major thing I took away when I took your class, was that, of course, being a marketing major, I have my MBA in marketing from Fairleigh Dickinson University, and I did work in insurance marketing for a long time, so I do have a background. But when you said to me, pick three or four target markets, I thought to myself, that's exactly what I have to do.
Yeah.
You cannot be all over the place with your targets. And I know we had discussed where, of course, working in insurance is a discretionary market. Having a book is a non-discretionary item. So that's quite different.
Right.
But also, my target market, I find, is flipped. When I did my go-to-market plan, my target market was, of course, parents and children. And my sub-target market was was caregivers, aunts, uncles, grandparents, etc. But now, as I get out there, I was shocked, to be quite frank, that my target market is actually the caregivers, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles. And I thought, wow, that's pretty crazy. And actually, I had a friend say to me the other day, well, if you think about it, that could be the case because the boomers and that generation have more elasticity in their budgets.
Right.
And also, they are not inundated as parents are with buy this, buy that. You know, there's the Scholastic Book Fairs at school, and my daughter gets that lovely flyer once a month to bring home. And, you know, you're inundated as a parent. You're completely inundated all the time between what's going on in school, what's going on in after-school activities. That to get to that market is probably pretty darn difficult. But to get to the grandparents and to the caregivers is way easier. It's way more organic.
Right.
So I'm finding that as I stepped back, like you said, we had that conversation. I'm very grateful we had that conversation because as I took a step back, I thought, wow, I'm starting to redo my go-to-market plan based upon what my target market actually is.
Yeah. The other thing, now that you brought up about the caregivers, I used to teach a class on generational marketing,
mm-hmm.
and I was nobody, I teach courses that nobody thinks to teach.
And that's a good one, too.
And so I did a lot of research on mm-hmm. the generations before, as I put the course together. Then eventually, and then I taught another course on word of mouth marketing, mm-hmm. and that whole topic became, it almost turned a mountain, a molehill into a mountain.
Right, right, right.
And so then I combined the two topics, and now I no longer teach. I teach at Brereton College for the SBDC, Small Business Development Center.
Okay.
But what I learned in this process was the importance of understanding all the generations and what's important to them.
So yes.
with regard to the caregivers,
yes.
such as the aunts and uncles and the grandparents,
yes.
you have to understand what's important to them that
yes.
you relate to them. So, for example, with the grandparents, you would say, "Here's a great, you know, how many grandkids do you have, or what
right,
their
right.
ages?" And you say, "Wow, your grandchild is just going to think you're terrific. You're going to be a hero when you get this book for them."
It's true. It's true.
So that's what's important to the grandkids. So you have to know
yes.
even the you need to know all the generations, really.
You do. And you had said, you had given us some great advice about going to YouTube and learning about Generation Z and Generation Y and the millennials and how to get to them. And I think what's amazing for me is that caregivers are really looking for that unique gift.
That's exactly right. Unique
Christmas, Hanukkah, birthday, confirmation, communion, all those, they're really looking for the unique gift, and that's almost a specialty market. Of course, you can't just have one specialty market, you have to have multiple specialty markets, and now that I've kind of found my specialty market, I'm going to start to look towards, well, how do I get to that main market I identified? I think that market's going to be a whole lot harder to break into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had talked about swatting things out, you know, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities,
right.
and threats.
Right.
And I definitely think, you know, the strength is in the niche market for me, and there is opportunities in other markets, but the definite threat is, of course, the Scholastics and all the other larger names who can come down with what we call economies of scale
mm-hmm.
and can, you know, wipe somebody like me out. So I think it's those things that are threats yet opportunities that I have to learn to manage way better.
Well, I think your point is well taken. And frankly, in business today, many people are not even trained, or they're not aware of the techniques and the tactics that we're talking about
yes,
right now.
Yes.
They really aren't. They're not schooled. So you definitely can rise above the mediocrity that's out there. I believe that.
Oh, well, thank you. That's just, I hope so. I have a daughter, and she's expensive, so I definitely need to do that.
Yeah. I think, I have four grandchildren, the oldest of whom is six, and it goes five, four, and two.
Right.
And they have so many toys that when I look to buy something for them,
yes,
I avoid toys that have a lot of pieces, because I find the parents are constantly picking the pieces up
yes.
or trying to get the kids, cajole them into picking the stuff up, and
yes.
it becomes quite a chore. So I always look for something that doesn't have a lot of pieces, and of course books are perfect for that,
yes,
certainly.
Yes.
So, wow, this is an interesting conversation. I'm going to break for some words from our sponsors, and then I'll come back.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This
is
really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. I'm having a little trouble with the microphone today, so a little comic relief here. We can't wait for that. I'm going to get the repair person in. I'm speaking with Maren Resnick, who's a very engaging author, and she has her book. In fact, I need to hold this. I would have. Let me hold this up. This is Scary, the Scared Iguana. Hope you can see this. It's very colorful, and it's all of... So this was an iguana that... Was this a pet of yours, or
he
was a pet?
No, he wasn't a pet. For a while, my husband and I had a house in Isle of Florida, where my daughter and I used to spend the summers when she was very little. And we had this huge iguana on our property. He was 6 feet long and 4 feet wide, and he was scared of everything. And my daughter and I love everything with four legs. And we used to go in the morning to give him bananas, and he'd just run off and go swimming into the canal. So it used to make us laugh. And one day when I got home from Florida, I thought, gosh, this would make a hilarious story. So I contacted Lauren Spatola de Mayer, which a lot of people know her, and I took her class, and I wrote the book. And then after I wrote the book for a while, I sent it out to some publishers, and I got some lovely declinations, and that happens a lot. So I shelved it, and, you know, I continued just doing my normal job with Walter O'Brien, the Hunterton U. And then I was in the writer's group one day, and Lauren says, you know what, we're going to do a book fair. And I looked at Lauren, and I said, Lauren, you know, I have that book I wrote like 100 years ago, and I shelved it. And she was like, which book that you shelved? So I told her, and she said, oh, well, do something quick, and we'll put it out. So I went to Staples. I had a bunch of pictures of Scary and all the characters in the book, Scary the Scared Iguana, Penny the Pelican, Allie the Alligator, and Tommy the Turtle. So I just took the pictures, threw them into like a Word document, took it to Staples, had them print me out 12 copies, and I put it into the book fair because I thought, well, why the heck not?
Yeah.
And then after the book fair, I didn't sell anything, but then I had all these books, and I thought to myself, what the heck am I going to do with these books? So my friend, Robin Ranison, owns Coach Stop Slavery in Bedminster, New Jersey, and I said, Robin, can you just put them out? It's Christmas. Maybe somebody will buy one. I don't know. Well, she sold two. And I thought, oh my gosh, if I actually put some effort into this, would I be able to sell it? So through Lauren's help, I met my illustrator and book designer, Eric Labas. He's from Newtown, Pennsylvania, and I would like to joke. I said now he's like my friend and my therapist and my business consultant. He's like everything in one. And, you know, he took a look at the book, and I actually rewrote the book based upon his recommendations, and he did that. We just did it really quickly, and by September 8th, we had a book.
And was this September?
This September.
Oh, oh,
we just kind of powered through.
Yeah.
And actually, I just got Scary the Scared Iguana. I just got rated 5 stars by Reader's Favorite, so I'm pretty excited about that. Yes, it was quite the journey. A lot of people ask me, you know, was I scared? I would say that I wasn't scared because I have a background in marketing and sales. So for me, I wasn't too scared to take it on. Eric has had a lot of experience with book design and printers, so he was a great consultant through that part of it for me, and he was able to do to find me a great printer, their Book Mobile in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, so they were very helpful, answered all my questions. As far as the marketing went, I just, you know, we talk a lot about guerrilla marketing. That's kind of what I've been doing, just the guerrilla marketing and those kind of tactics. And I have to say, you know, this community, the Hunterdon County community, has been wonderful to me. You know, everything from, you know, once again, my boss, Walter, who the book is dedicated to, because Walter taught me how to turn my passion into a craft, into a sustainable career. And I think that's huge. So, you know, the book is dedicated to him, and he's been wonderful, you know, being supportive of me. Also, our sister people, Mark Kitchen of the Observer Tribune, has also been very supportive of me. And the community itself, the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick, Brian Manning, Robert Jung, Rich Hall, they've all been, you know, networking a lot for me as well. You know, I talked about Paul Muir before at the Red Mill. He's been very helpful. And just this very loving community of all these people coming together, you know, our whole family, my niece, Tess Barrett, she designed my whole website. She did a beautiful job. And, you know, even everything from, like, my in-laws stepping in when I'm like, I gotta go to this place, you know, Joan Barrett, I'm like, hey, you better come babysit. And, you know, and I think that the thing is, we talk about word of mouth, and then we talk about networking within your community. I think the thing that holds me up, that makes me successful, is all of that.
Yeah.
I think it is our community and the people who love us and propel us forward. I don't think without them, I would have been able to do this. I would have been able to, you know, take that big leap of faith, and it is a huge leap of faith.
Right. You know, you've touched on something that I talk about in my classes, and
yes,
that is to have a board of advisors.
Yes.
Or people that are have an interest in wanting to see you succeed.
Yes.
And these are folks that you can go to for advice and for direction.
Yes.
And I tell all my students, my clients to do that. Over the years in the pet industry as a manufacturer's rep, I had certain buddies in the industry, and I'd call them up and say, hey, what's the latest news? And I'm thinking about doing business with so-and-so. What do you think about that? And people would come to me. I was known to be the first computerized person in the industry, because I started in 1976 before we had internet and computers, basically.
I think life was easier.
I think it was. But I had those friends that could give me advice, or I could just bounce ideas off of them, and they become your evangelists.
They do.
They're the one. Even if they didn't, I'm sure they'll buy a book. But if they didn't, they know you.
Yes.
They appreciate what you've gone through to create this. And they're going to be there to tell other people about them. They'll become an evangelist. An evangelist is somebody that volunteers information and suggestions without even being asked.
Yes.
And I'm sure that's what's happened with you.
It has totally happened with me. I mean, you know, going back to Lauren Spatola-DeMare, we have this beautiful Just for Kids writers group. We meet once a month in Washington Township. And just the women in that group are so loving. Everybody is open to sharing information, ideas. We bounce our stories off of each other. We bounce everything off of each other. And that's been so, so helpful. You know, and my brother, Chris Resnick, he is, you know, has been my guide through social media marketing. What works, what doesn't, what do I think, what do I not think, you know, things to that nature. My sister, Nicole Polino, and her husband, John Polino. You know, Nicole is a teacher, as is my other sister-in-law, Jen Resnick. She's a teacher, too. And they both read the book. And they both made very, very, very good recommendations to make this book what it was. My brother-in-law, John Polino, he's so funny. He is a copyright attorney. And as to not take advantage of my family, I decided to do the copyright by myself. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening out there and you have people that say, I will do it for you, and you feel like you're taking advantage, don't. Because I was having some issues with my copyright, and I, of course, had to call John and say, John, you know, I'm having issues with my copyright. And he was like, oh, dear Lord, I told you to just have me do it. And you didn't want to take advantage. And now I have to fix it. Now it's going to take me twice as long to fix it, which is the case.
Yeah.
So I think it's all those evangelists, as you're speaking, don't be afraid to reach out to them. Don't be afraid
exactly.
to talk to
yeah.
them. God has
yeah.
sent them to you for a reason. They're there to help you and guide you and love
yeah.
you.
I totally agree with you. That's I really appreciate everything that you're sharing here.
Oh, thank you.
These are all the things I'm interested in talking about. So you've hit the nail on the head here.
Oh, good,
with
good.
Concepts. I think we're going to take a look at a few more of our sponsors.
Sure.
And in the meantime, I'm going to figure out what I can do to fix all of this.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to Teachable Moments in Business. This is Vicki Lynn Morgan, your host for today. I can't hear myself on this one either.
Oh, no.
Oh, goodness. I hear you better, which is good, since you're the star here.
I don't know about all that, Vicki.
I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you now, you mentioned some other books. Have you've written other ones?
No, I haven't written other books yet. Like I said, my day job is I work as a reporter and a photographer for the New Jersey Hills Media Group. Eric and I are going to start working on the second book probably in February of 2020, and it's going to be called Scary's Afraid to Fly. There's this neat little airport in Marathon, Florida, and I thought it would be pretty cool if somehow Scary got stuck on the airline and made his way, you know, up to this area, maybe New York City, and meets his cousin Leland, the water dragon. And Leland, of course, will live in a cage because he's from New York City. And you'll get to see the difference between, you know, the iguana that lives outside, the Leland that lives in a cage, and the good and the bad of both. So I think that'll be kind of fun.
That sounds good. I'll certainly look forward to that.
Thank you.
I was curious, the fellow that helped you so much in reorganizing and solidifying
Eric,
what you
yes.
have in here, Eric.
Yes.
Does he have a background in what kind of books and writing does he focus on a particular category?
Well, actually, this is also Eric's first book. It's his first children's book. Eric is an illustrator, and he does all the book design and covers for Open Door Publishing.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a lot of experience in things that I was lacking, such as book design and where to put things on the page and how to make it come to life. So we have a very good partnership.
That's really good, because I often wonder if you have somebody who's giving you, like if I write a book, the book I started writing would probably be called Teachable Moments in Business, or I had thought about tales, what I learned about business from Tales of the Pet Industry.
I like the Tales of the Pet Industry. I like that.
Because I have made notes for years about
right.
things I've observed and heard, and it's like things you can't make up. I mean, silly stuff. It was. I'll give you one example.
Yeah, I want to hear.
I used to sell a line of ice melter.
Okay.
And it was more expensive than salt.
Okay.
But it's harmless and it's better for the environment.
Right.
And I contacted a salesperson who was selling it. And I said, I have a lead for you. I'd like you to call this company because they'd like to buy it, and you're my sales rep for us. And the sales rep says to me, do they know how expensive it is? Where do you go from here?
You just look at them dumbfounded.
Yeah, it's like, and then here's another one. Now, are you a horsewoman?
I am.
Okay, I had a hunch that was the case. Well, here's one
for you. I am.
I used to sell a line of, did you ever hear of Hamilton Halter? Hamilton had nylon tack equipment.
Okay, okay.
And also leashes and collars for dogs.
Right.
So we had, I sold them to a distributor who had a sales rep on Long Island. And we had an inquiry from a new tack shop that had just opened up on Long Island, and they were interested in buying the Hamilton product line. So I called the distributor sales rep who sells on the island, and I said, can you contact this new tack shop that just opened up? They want to buy the product, which you have it. They had it in stock in the distribution warehouse.
Right.
He says, that's great. That's all we need is another tack shop on the island. I didn't make it up. You cannot make this up.
No, you can't. And being a horse person, we have some funny stories. I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head that would be appropriate to say on the radio, and I can't. But I could just imagine what would be in your book. And I think people, when you tell things anecdotically like that, I think people love it, you know, because it just... brings the situation to life.
Right.
So funny.
I'll tell you one more.
Tell me one more. I got to hear this. This is hilarious.
One of my peers, who had a rep agency on Long Island, but he covered the whole Northeast just as I did.
Right.
And I heard through the grapevine of distributor buyers that this fella used to take people out to his car and open up the trunk of the car. Instead of carrying samples in, he would take the buyer out to look at the samples that he had in the trunk of his car. And he would say, if you see anything you like,
you want it the other way.
So one day, his name was Morty. Yeah. So I saw Marty at a business event, and he said, Morty says to me, oh, he says, I just got a new car. I said, you did? What did you get? He said, well, I bought a Crown Victoria because it has the biggest trunk.
That reminds me in the old days when they used to sell everything, you know, like Goodfellas, or they used to sell the cigarettes and everything out of the back of the car. That's awesome. I think that's hilarious.
But this is an example of the mediocrity that's out there.
Yes.
I mean, this is who I'm competing against or having to deal with.
Oh, my God.
And people are not trained today
at all. No.
And I see this everywhere. I was in a restaurant on Saturday to one of my friends plays guitar, and he was in a restaurant recently.
Wow.
I went there this Saturday, and the people were nasty and unpleasant about 5 years ago when I went to the restaurant. They still are. They haven't changed. And it's like they're in business in spite of themselves, but I don't want to go back there again unless my friend is playing his guitar there.
No, and
It is so common.
I don't understand that. You know, I was at Zimburger with my sister and the kids, and... Oh, no, this was a different time. I was at Zimburger with my husband and my daughter, and this waitress was so rude to us.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, I will never come back here because she's rude. And I was raised that you're always polite to everybody.
Exactly.
You know that old adage, you treat the CEO the same way you treat the janitor, the same way you treat the CEO. And I see it all the time. People are saying to me, wow, you have such wonderful manners. And I say to them, but that's how society is supposed to be. Everybody's supposed to be polite to each other and mannerful and thankful, and I don't, it's not something, I'm sure as you know, it's not something I've quite understood why people are mean to each other. I don't understand it.
I don't get it either. So what I find interesting about you is you've been trained in marketing, you had that experience, you have been involved in selling, so you've gotten training and experience there.
Yes.
You have been a writer for quite a number of years.
Yes, ma'am.
So what have you done here? You've taken all of these skills
and
you've wrapped them up into this.
Yes, I have.
And that's what I love.
Thank you.
Because it's just, you didn't rush into this at a time when you may have had the idea, but maybe you didn't have the background experience.
Yes.
You weren't ready.
No.
And I just love it when somebody can take all those wonderful experiences and wrap them up into something wonderful.
Thank you.
And then go with it, you know,
yes.
and it'd be, it'd be, it's,
it becomes more of a passion.
It is.
The other thing, when I explain to people how important passion is, I said it has to show. It shows with you.
Oh, thank you.
So that's another asset that you definitely have,
which will
take you a long ways. I can see why
at
the Business Expo that you had such success there, because
you
put yourself into it. And by the way, you said you had pictures of the iguana that you met originally.
Yes, I did. In that original book I had was all the pictures of the actual creatures. So when I go to events now, I put out that book, but I also bring the original book with all the creatures.
Yeah.
And everybody loves to see, like, wow, I can't believe that's the real iguana. And then I show them Annie the alligator kind of hanging behind her perch. And they're like, wow, that's a real alligator? I'm like, yeah, it's a real alligator. And they can see the real alligator up close and personal.
Yeah.
And it's what you said about the personal connection. People connect personally with my characters because they can see them in real life as opposed to just fictionalized, which I think is amazing.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I also wanted to congratulate you for connecting with Gail Rogers at the Toys with Love.
Oh, thank you.
Gail, I've known Gail since the 1980s.
Yes.
And she was a member of my church, and
wow.
She had been a school teacher. And she talked about opening up a toy store. She started out in the Far Hills.
Right.
And a bunch of us said we didn't think it was a good idea.
I think she proved you wrong.
There's no question about that. And it's been wonderful to see her transition. She's been in a couple locations, and her store that she has now is extraordinary.
Right.
It's talk about an experience and fascinating.
Yes, fascinating.
She has it. And they're doing a lot of wonderful things. Stacy, she and her daughter work the business together. And Julie, I think, lends a hand from time to time. But they are doing very engaging activities to get people to go there. And having someone like you to come in just do a reading and to promote their products, I think, is important. And that's why I actually talked to her about that, is to get the vendors to support her store. She told me, we talked about this a couple months ago, and she made the comment that some of the vendors they buy from really are not interested in supporting her, and I don't get that.
I don't understand that either.
They should be going out and doing demo days or doing hands-on experiences for customers or doing just special stuff. And they're not, so for you to go in there, I think is the right thing to do.
Yes, thank you.
And there's a good chance it'll lead off into other
opportunities. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I'm sure you've run into is this misunderstanding that large corporations are what support America, when really it is small businesses. 90% of our economy is engined on small business, and I think somewhere that message has gotten lost. I personally am not on Amazon. You won't find me there for a couple of reasons. Their distribution policy is very restrictive. Their percentages are extremely high, and I want to support my neighbors. Jeff Bezos has 3 huge mansions. Stacy's just, trying to run her store.
Right.
Robin's just trying to, feed her horses. I also work with the Long Valley Pharmacy. They're all people. And, those people give back to their communities.
They do.
And they employ people within their communities. And so you take one person, my father used to say this thing, 1 and 1 = 11. So you get one small business, that's 11 people. You get another small business, that's 11 people. And that multiplies throughout our entire country. And I think that people need to recognize that more. I'm very glad that American Express came up with Small Business Saturday, because it really highlights small business and go out and support them. But we have to do that every day. Buy your prescriptions at your local pharmacy. Your drug companies set those prices. You're helping them feed their families.
Right.
And I think that's so important.
It is important. And I run into a number of people that have a passion and a desire to start a business, but people don't know what they don't know.
Yes.
And put a plug in for the Small Business Development Center. I counseled 3 people yesterday, none of whom had ever heard of Small Business Development Center. There are 13 centers in the state of New Jersey. I'm connected primarily with the one at Raritan College, although I've worked in some of the other centers over the years. But they do sleuthing on the internet and suddenly trip across SBDC.
Which is good.
And It is good. And at that college, we have about, I think it's something like 13 counselors in many different areas of expertise, everything from business plans, marketing, selling, insurance, website design. I mean, you name it, from soup to nuts, we have everything. Plus, we teach quite a few courses there. And here's one that gets me. We have been canceling our classes. I teach the sales class there.
Okay.
We cancel it. We don't get people signing up for selling skills.
Wow.
And we all live by selling something.
We do.
And it just, we're at a point now, we don't know how to even, I have some ideas about how to restructure the description of the class, because even small business owners don't like the idea of selling.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
If you don't sell, you're not going to put food on the table. But it's a shame. There is so much help out there. And,
yes.
People just either don't know about it, it's a best kept secret, or they avoid it when they should be availing themselves of all these various skills that are out there, from offered by people that have been there and done it. It's just not academia. It's really world stuff.
And I think, you know, the small business centers are very important nationwide, because that's where you can go to get your skills. I actually had a young lady ask me last week, what do I do? And I said, you go to your local small business development center. She was in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, of course, would have, you know, directed her to you, Vicki.
Right,
but, you know, I said, you need to go to your small business development center because they have the resources that you need to start this.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And by the same token, through the Chamber of Commerce, where there are classes, as you took the one I gave, you also have networking events.
Yes.
I belong to BW Nice and also BIG, the two networking organizations that are beginning to grow beyond just New Jersey counties. I mean,
that's
going
great.
Into other states now. And they have wonderful speakers at those events, and I've learned so much. And I have a lot of takeaways that I can then use when I'm counseling somebody. So the value is just unbelievable, you know. And people need to get out there. They can't stay behind the counter in their stores or behind their desk and assume something's going to happen. They have to be proactive, like you are.
Yes. Well, it's the same thing as you said. It's the exact same concept as don't stand behind your table.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
Get out in front of people. I don't think, you know, I think, Vicki, one of the great things you do is you stress that a lot. Get out in front of people.
Yeah.
And I think that's just the key to success. One of the big things.
It really is. You have to be very proactive and, as we said, engaging, exciting, creating that experience. So I would, we did talk about, Jason Dorsey?
Yes, yes,
Simon
we did.
Simon Sinek, well, those were the two speakers that I had mentioned. And I get Simon Sinek's, Jason Dorsey's emails. I'm on his email list. So I think he's put out some new videos, which I haven't watched yet, but they're all built around the Z generation.
And I'm actually looking forward to, when I get a little break in January, I'm actually looking forward to really diving into that and learning about what drives that generational buying.
Right.
I'm also super interested in supply chain management. I know some of my friends in graduate school went for Six Sigma. That's, you know, the degree in supply chain. And supply chain, to me, is something I've never done before, and I find it so interesting. You know, how do you get to the top of the supply chain? How do you get the right shelving and all those kind of intricate things? So that's kind of the next thing I'm working on and interested to learn about.
Right. Sort of a companion to that is something that I've talked about in the pet industry, which I've never heard of anybody else referring to it, and that is developing relationships with channel partners.
Yes, I've heard about that.
And I've never heard anybody talk about that in the pet industry, ever.
Really?
And that's something that I learned about it a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And a channel partner is, in your case, it would be you're the writer, but then you have your people that help you develop the book. You have the printers. You have the retailers. You have people that help to promote. Those are all partners in that whole distribution.
Yes.
And in the pet industry, you have manufacturers, you have distributors, sales reps, retailers. And there's many different retailers that might carry a product. And people, they don't think about those relationships and how you can develop the strength of those relationships to get the distribution that you're looking for, to get them to get your product into the hands of the end user.
You know what, I think for me, coming up through corporate America and working in insurance, you learn that, because what you said in the pet industry, of course, translates to every industry, but in a different way.
Right.
In the insurance industry, you have, you know, your customers who you have relationships with, but then you also have your markets who you have relationships with, you know, your insurance companies and what they do, and each market does something a little different, and each market has their own little specialty, and you have to develop those relationships, as you said, with the channel marketing. It's the same thing. You develop those relationships with your insurance companies and the underwriters and the business development people to get your best price for your best product, and it's the same thing with channel development.
Right.
You know, I know we talk about a lot about the SBDC and coming to the chamber, but people really should do those things, because so much of knowledge you need to know these things to make any business work, whether you're a writer or a pet store, anything like that. You know, taking marketing 101, going to the SBDC, coming to take some of your classes here at the chamber, if you don't have time to maybe go to a college course. I think those things are so important. You know, I always tell all our kids, you know, I have 3 stepchildren, I have Jerry. I'm like, you guys should really take economics, at least 101, macro and micro, so then at least you know how the world works.
Yeah.
You know, just to have that knowledge of how the world works.
Right.
And I think a lot of people lack that knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's wonderful that people come out of school with, you know, we need artists, we need creative people. I'm glad people come out of school with creative writing and art history majors, but you need the other side of that in order to succeed.
Well, we're coming down to the wire here.
Thank you.
We could keep on going.
We could. Vicki and I could totally. We're like twin flames with this. We could keep going forever.
So, folks, I've had Maren Resnick here, the author of Scary, The Scared Iguana. And if someone would like to get in touch with you, can you share your email address?
Sure. My email address is just my name, Maren, MarinResnick, and the number 1 at gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, if you like those better. And also, Scary has his own website at scarytheiguana.com.
Perfect. So thank you for being here. You're wonderful. I've enjoyed this this brainstorming.
No, thank you, Vicki. I appreciate you so much having me.
So we'll be back again next week. This is Teachable Moments of Business at the 100th Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for listening today, and we'll see you next week.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump visits the Economic Club of New York on Tuesday. The president talks trade and economic policy.
Today I'm proud to stand before you as President of the United States to report that we have delivered on our promises and exceeded our expectations by a very wide margin.
A newly filed complaint to the Intelligence Community Inspector General alleges a whistleblower whose allegations touched off House Democrats' impeachment inquiry may have violated federal law by indirectly soliciting more than $250,000 from mostly anonymous sources via a GoFundMe page. The complaint also raises the possibility that some of the donations may have come from prohibited sources, such as foreign citizens or agents of a foreign government. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
An official message from Medicare.
It's open enrollment, Fred. Time to compare plans.
Oh, Alice, we're fine with what we have.
Well, that's what the Johnsons thought until they tried Medicare's new Plan Finder.
The Johnsons, huh?
We saved on our prescription costs.
And got extra benefits.
Come on, Fred. Maybe we'll find something better.
Plans change every year. Use the new Plan Finder at Medicare.gov to compare health and drug plans. Open enrollment ends December 7th.
What do you know? Comparing plans really pays.
Filling an opening at your company means more than just finding an employee. You're looking for a fit, a match.
Robert Half understands that. We know you need someone who can do the work, someone who complements your culture. And, of course, you need that someone fast. When it all comes together, it makes for a perfect fit. Satisfaction guaranteed. Robert Half, the matching experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Visit roberthalf.com for more information.
New Yorkers gathered for a Tuesday morning memorial at the site of a deadly plane crash nearly 20 years ago. Here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes with the details.
American Airlines Flight 587 fell from the sky over Bell Harbor, Queens, New York on November 12, 2001. Mayor Bill de Blasio, among those who turned out to remember the lives lost that day at a morning ceremony.
But I know from speaking with so many of you, this day is one of a pain that is sharp and vivid just as much as it was 18 years ago.
The names of the 265 people killed in the tragedy were read out loud during that ceremony. The plane's tail broke off shortly after takeoff, and the NTSB ruled that pilot error was the cause.
The Supreme Court is continuing to hear oral arguments on the DACA program. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Twitter said last month it was introducing a new policy to help fight deepfake videos or manipulated media videos that involve photo, video, audio, or anything that's been significantly altered to change its original meaning or purpose. Claire Wardle runs a website called First Draft, which is a nonprofit that fights misinformation around the world. She joined CBS this morning and is asked if Twitter should be taking down videos that are not real or if they should just be labeling them.
I think there will be certain cases where they will take it down if it's going to cause physical harm. But the truth is, I don't want Twitter to make decisions about what to take down. What I want is more information as a consumer. So I think this is a good move. And they've actually asked people to give them feedback. And we want more of that from the platforms.
You think trust is born of people stepping in and saying, this is real,